This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope you're all doing well. بإذن الله تعالى. I'd like to start with truly appreciating all of you for coming out. It's an honor to be here with all of you truly. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make this gathering on this blessed day, in this blessed hour, a gathering that is marhuma, that Allah Azza wa Jalla's rahmah has descended upon. A gathering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven. A gathering that is mentioned in Allah's gatherings. Because we hope that Allah accepts this as a gathering of remembrance, a gathering of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'd like to talk about the second part of the Shahada today, which is Ashhadu Anna Muhammadan Abdullah wa Rasulullah. I testify that there is no messenger after the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the servant, the messenger to all of mankind. When it comes to this testimony, we usually think what? What comes to mind usually? Like, what do we need to believe? Yeah, so this is an open question. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you say, I need to believe in the Prophet ﷺ being the last messenger?
Except that he's a prophet of God and that he comes with the truth.
Very good. Except that he's a prophet of God and comes with the truth. Okay, what else?
He's the last messenger.
He's the last messenger. Very good. Kids, any ideas? Yes. We're talking about the Prophet ﷺ. We're saying, when we say that we believe that the Prophet ﷺ is the final messenger, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you?
Brave.
Yes. Brave. Nice. Yeah.
The last brave messenger.
Very good. So we have certain beliefs, and alhamdulillah, we maintain them. He's the last messenger. He came with the truth. We need to believe in it. Very good. Have we ever asked ourselves, how do you prepare yourself? How do you prepare yourself to emotionally and intellectually accept the message of the Prophet ﷺ? Because again, we're not robots, right?
No.
We're not turn on and turn off. We're not ChatGPT where you just give us some information and you can just make something out of it. We're humans. We feel, we think, we live, we experience. And so, how do you prepare yourself emotionally to accept the message of the Prophet ﷺ? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to mention 7 points. How many? 7. The first emotional relationship that we need to have to the Prophet ﷺ is deep respect and honor. If you don't have respect when the name of the Prophet ﷺ is mentioned, then there's something wrong. Because the angel Jibreel said, whoever does not send peace upon you when your name is mentioned, may he be cursed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ameen. And that's why whenever his name is mentioned, we send dua upon him. We have to send dua upon him. What's one of the best acts we can do on Friday?
Send
salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ. What does sending salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ do? It eases your difficulties. It makes your du'as accepted. It gets you closer to Allah. It allows you to be able to see the Prophet ﷺ in your dreams. It does so much. Just by mentioning the respect and the honor that goes with his name. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this in the Quran in so many different places. In one of the places that, you know, you can truly feel what's happening is where when Allah says in Surah Al-Fath, almost like as if it's a news report. Like, you know, it's like a breaking news alert. Inna arsalnaka shahida. We have sent to you a witness. What does a witness do? A witness about reality itself, about the truth. We have sent a witness of truth. Imagine there's a court case, the most important court case in the world, and you have one witness coming with the truth. That is the Prophet ﷺ. He's the witness to mankind. So Allah is saying, I have sent you a witness. But usually, what does a witness do? He only says his part and he leaves. No. شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. And he is one to bring glad tidings. So not only is he witnessing the truth for you, not only is he testifying it for you, he's giving you glad tidings. He's saying, congratulations. Do this and you'll be happy. You'll succeed. You'll pass the test of this world and the next. You'll know what it means to be happy and alive. So he's mubashira, but at the same time, nadhira. He's a forewarner. He's warning you as well. He's saying, if you decide to turn away from God, then you won't have happiness. You'll have punishment. And your life will be miserable. And your afterlife will be miserable. The Prophet ﷺ was all of these things. And then Allah tells us why. Here's the real reason why he's telling us this khabar, this news. It's literally like a news that Allah is giving us, right? Why is he telling us? Li, lam, for. Li tu'minu. To believe. Li tu'minu billahi wa rasul. So that you may believe in Allah and his messenger. Is that enough? No. What comes with iman? This is the point I'm trying to get at today. لِتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. So that you may respect him and honor him. Who? The Prophet ﷺ. So this iman, if it's not coupled with respect and dignity, you're not gonna have faith. And this is also something that's so unique about Muslims. Wallahi, it's unique about Muslims. Today, you have Christians and non-Christians, atheists, talking bad about Isa alayhi salam. And nobody bats an eye. Nobody says anything. You have posters in universities making fun of him. You have art that is making fun of him. Nobody says anything. But let somebody do something like that in a Muslim country, they wouldn't be able to. Imagine somebody walking around with a shirt making fun of the Prophet ﷺ. It's impossible. You can't even think of it. There is a scholar who was once mentioning a story of his own personal events where he says that I was once sitting in a bus and he was in a Muslim country and there was a sister who was dressed very inappropriately. Right? And so the first thing that obviously the first first perspective you have of this person is, you know, not that practicing, just kind of whatever. And in front of her was a rabbi, an Arab rabbi. And he was talking to his friend rabbi. And they started to make fun of the Prophet ﷺ. They said something that was sarcastic or putting the Prophet ﷺ down. And she gets up, and out of anger, her hands are shaking. And she says, إِلَّا النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Say anything, but don't say anything about the Prophet, peace be upon him. You could talk about anything, but don't talk about the Prophet. And she's screaming at them. She gets up in the middle of the bus, and she's not dressed appropriately. So the Shaykh, he says, I was shocked and ashamed that she was the one to get up. And I was shamed because I mistook to think that she doesn't even believe.
or she doesn't have any faith at all. But she was the one to get up and openly rebuke them for what they said. So this shows you that, alhamdulillah, for Muslims, we still have a deep love and honor for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that needs to, how do you bring that about, right? How does this happen? Like, do we teach the seerah to our children? Do we make them intimately know who this Prophet of God is? If we believe in him, if it's a pillar of faith, if it's the second half of our testimony, if we can't believe without believing in him, then do we truly believe if we don't know him? What type of belief is that? What type of knowing is that? What type of iman is that? So that's the first point. The first point is to respect him and honor him. The second point is to emotionally relate to the fact that he greatly loved us. Not just know up here, but feel down here that he loved us more than we could ever love him truly and more than we love ourselves. Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks of this in the Quran again and again. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Verily a prophet has come to you amongst you, from amongst yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. He grieves, he's grievous over your suffering, over what you are inflicted with. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. And he is concerned over you, over mankind, over humanity itself. He's concerned. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَأُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. And with the believers, he is so kind. He is so merciful. The Prophet lived, suffered, joyed, and cried for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ. He says every prophet had a special dua, a dua that was accepted. فَتَعَجَّلَ كُلُّ نَبِيٍ دَعْوَةٌ. And each prophet asked that dua in this dunya. He didn't keep it. He didn't save it. He used it. That accepted one-time dua, each prophet used in this dunya. وَإِنِّي اِخْتَبَأْتُ دَعْوَتِي. But I kept my da'wah, I kept my dua. شَفَاعَةً لِأُمَّتِي يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. So that I could use it for my ummah as an intercession, as a shafa'a on the Day of Judgment. Imagine each child is given something, right? What happens, right? If a mother is given something really good, what does she do? She keeps it and gives it to her child. Because she says, this is really precious, this is really nice. I'm sure my kid will love it here. I'm going to give it to my child. This is a good mother, right? Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's given something for him, an accepted dua. And he says, no, I'm going to keep this. And I'm going to keep it for my ummah on the Day of Judgment. In the narrations of Badr, and other than Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was crying in sujood at night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down angel Jibreel from the heavens. From the heavens. To ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what is it that grieves you? What is it that makes you cry? And he said, My concern, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to my people? And the Prophet, Allah Azza wa Jalla knows what the Prophet is concerned for. He knows better than anybody. But what happened? He sent down Angel Jibreel to make it a point for everybody to know what is happening, for us to know what is happening. And Allah said through Angel Jibreel, you will be satisfied in the affair of your ummah. You will be pleased with the affair of your ummah. So this is the second emotion, which is to relate to the emotion that He loved us. The third emotion that we need to relate to is our need, our deep-seated need of the Prophet ﷺ. To feel, to experience that we need his guidance. And that if we think we can follow another path, that path is invalid. What is the khutbatul hajah that we hear in so many khutbas? فَإِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, that the truest of all words is the word of Allah. وَأَنَّ خَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the best of guidance, the best of ways, of paths in life, is the path, the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. There is no other path. Allah clearly says in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ, and it's you, O Muhammad, it is you, لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, who guides to the straight path. There are many paths in life. Every path leads to the hellfire except the path of the Prophet ﷺ. If you decide that there is another path for you in life, that is, I'm sorry, that's not the path. So when people say, discover yourself, they're effectively saying, discover a path for yourself. Like, look, these are all incorrect paths, or there's no truth here, so find your own truth. But we know that this world has a truth, and it is Allah and the coming of the Prophet ﷺ. And these are truths beyond measure. These are the biggest blessings, the greatest blessings. And so to be able to recognize that is important. But if we don't, then we should remember that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, all of my ummah will enter Jannah. All of them. إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى, except for those who refuse, who reject. قَالُوا, the companion said, وَمَنْ يَبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, who is this person who refuses? قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever obeys me will enter Jannah. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى, and whoever refuses to follow me, whoever disobeys me, then he has rejected. Now, over here, I want us to ask ourselves, right? It's really easy to listen to this, right? How many of us truly actually follow through with this? Why is it that when it comes to learning a hadith, we say, oh, brother, you know, I know this already. Why are you telling me? It happens. Somebody comes and gives you a reminder, you say, I know better. Is this how you deal with the word of Allah and His Messenger? Is this how you respect it? Is this how you recognize His love? Is this how you recognize the need for His guidance? Is this the respect that's supposed to be shown to the adab with the Prophet ﷺ? The etiquette, the respect, the manners that you're supposed to have with the Prophet ﷺ? Or is this something else? This leads to the next point, which is the adab and the ihtiram with the Prophet ﷺ. If we don't have respect with him, then we do not have the readiness to have iman. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ, O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِي بَعَضُكُمْ لِبَعْضًا, don't even talk to him the way you talk to a regular person. You know, like how we're talking to one another? Don't even talk to him like that. Talk to him with a level of respect that you wouldn't give anybody else. And if you don't, أَنْتَحْبَطَ عَمَالُكُمْ, the fear is all of your good deeds will be wiped out. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, they will get wiped out and you didn't even realize that you've lost everything. This is the fear, dear brothers and sisters. Wallahi, this is the fear. The fear is, it's so easy to fall into either making fun of or belittling something that is attached to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have you not seen a person who makes fun of a hadith? Belittles a hadith? Says, I can't understand it, so you know what? That's fine. They start making fun of it. They start laughing at it. They say, what a funny hadith. This may fall into you losing all of your good deeds because you made fun of him. And if you truly made fun of him, then you did kufr. If you intentionally did something that was sarcastic or humorous in regards to the Prophet ﷺ, belittling him at his expense, this is kufr. By consensus, this is kufr. Yet the opposite is true. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّوا أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, verily those who keep their voices low in the presence of the Prophet of God, وَيَاِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى, their hearts are the hearts that Allah has tested for taqwa. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful ayah. Allah did not give them taqwa. No, no. Allah readied them for taqwa. Allah tested them for taqwa. By how? By them lowering their voices in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the same applies with great scholars or people of high respect in Islam, such as parents and so on. You should have respect for them of that level. And particularly inheritors of Islam, you should have that respect for them. True scholars, not us, real scholars. Give them that respect. Because that respect is part of our inheritance from the Prophet ﷺ. The next point, so we've mentioned four. How many have we mentioned? Four, what's number one? Honor. Number two? His love. Number three? His need to need him. Number four? Having etiquette, manners with him. And number five is to celebrate the fact that he was. To rejoice in the fact that he came to us as a mercy to mankind. To truly be happy, to do shukr to Allah that he gave us the Prophet ﷺ. It's Allah Azza wa Jalla said, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ, say with the virtue of Allah, وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ, and with His mercy, فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا, be happy about that. وَخَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ, it is better than everything you could have gathered. Everything you can muster in this world, better than it is to be happy about what Allah has given you in terms of virtue and mercy. You know, subhanAllah, the Sahaba, they understood this. They lived by this. And then you see the effects on them, right? You see how they managed to survive in this world. Like, how many of you have gone to Medina? Okay, mashallah, may Allah give everybody a chance to go to Medina, inshallah. And Mecca. If you go to Medina, you will see how much of a barren, desert, mountainous area it is. And you will wonder, you will truly wonder, how is it that the Messenger of God came to this land? How is it that the best of people of this dunya, of this world, came from this barren area? You'll truly ask yourself this. And the answer is within the question. It's because it was they were around the Prophet ﷺ. They understood what it meant to love him, to emotionally relate to him. Al-Bayhaqi has a hadith. He narrates a hadith. He says that جَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ An Ansari companion came to the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, whenever I'm not with you, I feel a deep sense of pain. And when I see you, I feel happy. When I see you, I feel at peace. But when I'm not with you, I feel worried. And then he started to cry. And the Prophet ﷺ, he asked him, why are you crying? Think about it. Like, if the reason for him feeling sad is not seeing the Prophet ﷺ, then by seeing him, he should be happy. No? Right? So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, why are you crying? You're here? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I just remembered. I just thought of right now, as I was saying this, that in Jannah, you will be with the prophets on a stage much higher than me. And I will be further down. So I will not be able to see you in Jannah. And that's what made me sad, that I won't be able to see you. And right after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ Then they will be with those who Allah has blessed. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ From the prophets. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ From the truthful. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا And how amazing of a company that is. فَسُبْحَانَ This was the love that they had. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith in the Bukhari and Muslim. He says, a man once came to the Prophet ﷺ with a very serious face. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I love the people. And over here he's talking about the righteous. He says, I love the people. But my actions, they're not of the people. I love them, but I'm not like them. The Prophet ﷺ, he gave him a one-liner. He said, "Anta ma'a man tuhib." You will be with who you love. And Anas says, after that day, we have not heard a word that has made us more happier than those words. That if we can't be pious, then as long as we love the pious, as long as we love the prophets, as long as we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll be able to be with them. I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love the companions. But the problem is, how do we take this feeling and turn it into reality? How do we take this feeling and turn it into action? The worst thing we can do, and it's what we always do, which is to feel something right now and to go out and do nothing about it. And to go back into our own heedless ways. One of the best things we can do is attach ourselves to the life of the Prophet ﷺ, to his ahadith, to make it a point to give proper tarbiyah to our children. Tarbiyah for our children is simply, don't think of your tarbiyah of your children that is simply to provide food to them, to provide shelter. What tarbiyah have you provided if you haven't instilled a love for the Prophet, peace be upon him? If you haven't shown them how much you love them by loving the Prophet ﷺ. The worst thing we can do is go back and do nothing. Continue on with the last 2 points. The sixth point of emotional relationship to the Prophet, peace be upon him, how to emotionally relate to him, is to submit to what he says. To submit to what he says is essential. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you truly love Allah, follow me. And if you do so, not only will you be fulfilling your love for Allah, no. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will then love you. Follow me, not only will you show that you love Allah, Allah will love you back. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And he will forgive you for your sins. And whoever does so has succeeded in the best way possible. There's no success bigger than that. Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the words of the Prophet, peace be upon him, his words are revelation. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. His words are not of desire. He does not speak from his desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Verily, whatever he says about the religion is revelation. It is wahi from Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. If I tell you to do something, if I order you to do something, فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Do what you can. There's no two ways about it. There's no, not feeling it today, maybe tomorrow. You know what, like, yeah, that's fine, but, oh, it's only sunnah. It's only sunnah. The Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they did not differentiate in terms of action between what was fard, what was mandatory, and what was voluntary, what was sunnah. They did not separate. In action, they treated them the same. Just like how when it came to something that was disliked and something that was prohibited haram, they didn't differentiate in terms of action. They stayed away from them the same way. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, if I tell you to do something, don't find a loophole. Do what I say. And if I tell you to not do something, then leave it. Because your success, your happiness, your fulfillment is in doing what I say. And if you really think there is another way out there, then you don't really follow me. You don't really believe in me. And you don't really believe in Allah. The seventh and final emotional relation that we should have to the Prophet, peace be upon him, is yes, he was a man who lived 1400 years ago. What does that mean for us? The Prophet ﷺ said, I wish I could see my brothers. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers? Rasul said, No, you're my companions. My brothers are those who will come after me. They will not be able to say, Ya Rasulullah, I want to see you, because I will not be there. My brothers are those who will come after me, who will believe in me, and they would have never seen me. That is faith, that is love. That is commitment. And the Prophet ﷺ remembered us. He made dua for us. He deeply cared for us. So how do we show our care and concern for him? By making dua. By living to his method. By following it, by learning it, by teaching it, by living by it, by being true to his message. And the best way to do that is to have your direct connection to him. Right? Today, we think, oh, the Prophet ﷺ is God. That's not true. He's not God. His message is with us. And it's with us through a direct chain. Usually when we think of something, we say, oh, if I read it in a book, then you know it's different. But we don't have that. Yes, we have books, but we have something really special. We have transmission, we have a chain connecting us back to him. So it's like you have literally somebody who directly spoke to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and then that person spoke to another person, and you are learning this basically directly from him because you got it from an authentic source of transmission. So we are connected by chains of transmission of knowledge. Our religion is not a dead religion. Our religion is not a religion of just books. Our religion is a lived path, the path that connects back to the Prophet ﷺ. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya, the prophets are inheritors, are the heirs. The scholars are the heirs to the prophets. What does an heir do? An heir inherits. He inherits everything that is important. And the scholars did that. From the Sahaba to the Tabi'een, from the Tabi'een to the Tabi'ut Tabi'een, from those successors and onwards. And when you learn something about the Prophet ﷺ, you're learning it as if you're learning it from him. It's almost as if you're learning it from him. Right? And what's so beautiful about that is that many of the scholars, they say that today we have access to the Prophet ﷺ in ways that many of the companions did not. Why? How is that possible? Huh? Let's think about this a little bit. And let's end with this. Think about this. How is it possible that today somebody might have more access to the Prophet ﷺ than some of the companions? Think about it before you raise your hand. Yeah.
There are thousands of hadith. Some of the sahabas didn't check to hear everything before maybe they died.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So beautiful. Exactly. Right on the spot. There are hundreds of thousands of ahadith from the private life of the Prophet ﷺ, from certain eras of his life that other companions might have not had access to. So you can live with him in his day-to-day. Walk in his path by looking at his entire day, looking at his entire life, looking at him as a father, as a husband, as a leader, as a warrior, as a prophet, as a worshiper, as a slave of God, as a human. You can do all of that by living with him through the authentic tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. For these are the 7 points of our emotional awareness and relationship to him, and we will quickly repeat them, inshallah. Number one is to honor him. Number two is to know that he loved us. To know that he loved us. Number three? Khalas, we already did love. Number two is that he loved us. Yes? Number three? Huh? Number three was to recognize our need of him. Number three was to recognize our need of him. Number four was to have etiquette with him. Number five is to celebrate him. Number six is to submit to him. And number seven is to be connected to him through the chain of knowledge. Right? And so we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be those who love him. Not only love him in words, but truly love him in our actions. Love him in a way that allows us
to be with him in Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from those who drink from his fountain on the Day of Judgment. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us from those who, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees us on the Day of Judgment, he can recognize us as his ummati, as one from his ummah. Ya Allah, allow us to live a life that is truthful to his path. Truthful in a way that allows his intercession to be of benefit to us. Ya Allah, allow the intercession of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be granted to us so that we may enter Jannah without going to Jahannam. Ya Allah, allow us to be close to him in Jannah. Ya Allah, allow us to be able to see him in Jannah. Ya Allah, allow us to be able to see your beautiful face in Jannah. Ya Allah, allow us to be able to talk to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to have conversations with him, to tell him about our lives, so that he could listen to us in Jannah. Ya Allah, allow our salawat on this blessed day to reach the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and so that he may see our salawat on this day. Ya Allah, accept our salawat. Ya Allah, forgive us for our sins. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us, our parents, our children, our mashayikh, and everybody who has a right over us, and all that we have a right over them. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.